Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 210 of Nerd Pride Radio. 210 years from now, a young man will graduate from Starfleet Academy to become Ensign Jean-Luc Picard. How cool is that?
The best captain ever.
So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, as it is every single week, it's Aiden.
Hi, how you doing?
Awesome.
Good to be back again this week.
Okay, but now, normally I announce a co-host, and then they never actually speak, and we don't hear from them through the whole episode. I don't know if you've noticed my theme.
Okay, I can just be quiet, but...
Okay, see? Perfect. We're all good. Let's get right to the master list, the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
So, straight into it.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right. It's a fingertips episode. I don't have a whole lot prepared, and I mean, I've got a lot of things on the list, but you know what? I'm just going to kind of hit them as I go, and we'll see what happens. None of these are fully researched and probably not very long. And so whatever time we have left over, we'll just fill up with Podomatics. So first off, awesome in the 80s. God, we haven't done that yet, have we? Yeah, you know why? You know why? Because Aiden sucks.
I dropped the ball on that one.
So, we're gonna get to them eventually. I think we've talked about Real Genius, Poltergeist, we thought about Pet Sematary, but I think Real Genius is gonna be the next one. So again, I know you probably already watched it a month ago, getting ready for me to do this with Aiden, but go ahead and watch it again now, because you wanna be ready. It's gotta be fresh in your mind, right? So watch Real Genius again, and then we'll do it sometime in the next couple weeks, I hope. We'll see. I shouldn't promise anything, but we'll try.
Next week, he promises.
Right. Next up on Fingertips, Godball. Hey, did I mention that I'm designing a game? Well, my friend Dave is designing a game with my help. Did I tell you about that? And actually, here's the thing, is I've been feeling really guilty because he's been putting in a ton of work, and I felt like I wasn't doing anything for about 2-3 weeks there, but... I did help with the playtests, and I looked back through the original materials. It got me re-inspired. I read back through everything we had written on the forums, and it got me re-inspired, and it also highlighted to me that, oh, I actually did a whole lot with this game. I just haven't in the last... I mean, because Dave went through and designed all the cards, and he just went nuts. And now it's my turn to go nuts, and so I've put together a whole bunch of stuff, and I think... Like, in about a week or two, I'm hoping to have a print-and-play document ready. Actually, I'm hoping to have a print-and-play version of the game ready for this, for Thanksgiving, because we'll have everyone home for the holiday, and it would be nice to run a playtest like Dave did. He did a whole handmade version of our board game, and he played with his brother and his mom and dad, since they're all together for Thanksgiving, and it's so awesome.
Dave,
so,
you're crazy, and we love you for it.
Oh, man, so good. We are... learning all sorts of amazing lessons about how this game works and what we need to do with it. And again, every time we sit down to play, it is crazy fun. So far, nobody has scored a point. We can't get anything happening. So, I mean, we try and we try and we find new and crazy ways to stop each other from scoring. And it's really, really awesome. And everyone has a really fun time with it. But eventually, I think like before we, you know, have the game finished, there should really be a win condition that's achievable. But,
or it could be like soccer.
Well, okay. Yeah, that would be fine. If it was a low scoring game, as long as you got 1 point, as long as it was possible that someone can score 1 point, then we're all good. But so far we haven't proven that it's actually possible. But as I pointed out, I was talking with my mom about it earlier today, and this game is based on the original game of Animal Ball back when I was in high school. And Animal Ball, for those of you who haven't heard me describe it before, is played in a standard backyard swimming pool. And the idea is you get a bunch of people in the pool. Typically for us, it was a group of teenage guys. And
that's hot.
There is one Nerf football in the pool, and everybody goes for the ball. And the object is you have to grab the ball, and without ever losing control of it, you have to touch one end of the pool and then swim the long way down to the other end of the pool and touch the other end of the pool while never losing control of the ball. And it means that it's everyone against everyone. So as soon as one guy gets the ball, everyone else is ganging up on this jerk and trying to take him down. And, you know, that many people wrestling for a ball in a pool, it's amazing none of us ever drowned, but we didn't. And in all the years we played it, uh-oh, that's Jacob's ringtone. Hold on, let me see what Jacob wants. It was Jacob. He's going to be home in about 15 minutes. This is really cool. But anyway, where was I? Yeah, well, in the many years that we played Animal Ball in the pool, we did that, I think, 3 summers in a row, and Steve Safford, my best friend at the time, was the only guy to ever score a point in this game. And yet, even though no one ever scored, well, until Steve, even though no one ever scored, we still had a great time playing it. And this is what God Ball feels like. But again, as much fun as that is for us, I don't think you can market a game that no one can ever win at. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that anyone's ever tried.
Hey, Kobolds is pretty popular.
Yeah, Kobolds is, well, it's really popular among the people who've actually played it.
You know, fun people.
Right, right, because it's still not published. Let's make note of that. So, anyway, we're working on it, and I'll have more to report as time goes on, probably enough that you guys will be sick about me talking about it already and tell me to either just publish or shut the hell up. But I'm going to keep talking. So, anyway, next on my list, our band teacher. The band teacher at our school, this was just a cute moment because he is my second favorite band teacher in the whole world. He is really awesome. Don't ask me who's the first.
Yeah, Dad. Who's the first?
DM Darks. He is so awesome.
All right.
Okay. But our band teacher is also really awesome. Band teachers in general seem to be pretty decent guys.
They didn't pursue a real job.
And when I say guys, I should say people, because, you know, there's plenty of female band teachers out there. Just the two in question here happen to be guys.
# feminism.
So, anyway, we are at a band concert for the junior high the other night, because Eli was playing, because they were going to go to a big event the next day. And listening to him talk about it was so adorable, because our band teacher is out there explaining that, okay, we're going to be going down to Lincoln and we're going to be playing here. And then he says, and we're going to be playing in the room where the actual Nebraska band practices, where they do their work. And he was so excited about it. And then he talked about it. And then we go over here and it was where they play. But then there's also the organ room where there's practicing. And he says, there's an actual pipe organ in there. And so we'll get to be with that. But the whole point was that he was so excited about it. Because this is really cool stuff to band nerds, all right? And he is a super band nerd. And it's so cool to be there where the Nebraska band plays, to be in there with this pipe organ that's however many years old, to do, you know, all this information. And you could just hear the hush in the audience because nobody in the audience cared. But I did. I did because he was so excited about it, and it made me love it. And so, again, he's a cool guy. I really appreciated that little nerd moment. And the fact that nobody in the audience seemed to react to it at all didn't deter him one bit because, man, this was cool. So I thought that was great. Okay. This is weird. I was looking up northernmost cities in the world, southernmost cities in the world, and I was trying to get just some information. I was just curious. And when you look up the word northernmost, what do you think Google auto-suggest pops in for the rest of the question?
What does it pop in?
It says the northernmost point on Earth.
Well, would that be the North Pole?
Yeah, which is, really? You have to, like the most common question, if you type in the word northernmost, the most common question that people apparently ask Google is, what's the northernmost point in the world? Yeah, it's the North Pole, you morons. Of
it is
course.
As north as it gets.
Right. Same thing for southernmost,
it's
apparently.
It's technically absolute north.
Right. So, it turns
any direction from there is south.
Right. So I was looking at, these northernmost cities of the world, populations. You know, there's a Russian city in Siberia that's over 100,000 people and it sits way north. There's like five town city settlements that are farther north than that. Pretty much all of them in Norway. But, those are, I think the largest of those is 1,000 people and the rest are like 35. Four things like that. But that wasn't the interesting part. Well, I mean, that was all interesting. But the thing that I'm actually here to talk about is the southernmost permanently manned station in the world. Is, because there's Antarctic stations that are manned year-round, and the southernmost one is actually on the South Pole. The Scott Amundsen Research Station on the South Pole is manned 365 days a year, and they have about 150 people during the summer, but then during the winter they have 6 months of night, and they have, God darn it, that message keeps beeping. They have 6 months of night, and so they have everyone ships out, and so for 6 months, a little over 6 months, these 40 people that are left, because someone has to maintain the telescopes and keep the equipment running and make sure everything stays functional, 40 people stay over the winter in at the South Pole. And as soon as the last plane flies out, the first thing they do after the last plane is gone is the 40 people that are left sit down for a triple feature every year, triple feature where they watch The Thing from Another World from 1951, John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982, and then the remake prequel of The Thing from 2011. So the first thing they do every single year
is watch all three horror movies that have to do with the South Pole.
Right. They immediately sit down and back to back, watch horror movies about all of the horrible ways you can die when you're at a remote research station near the South Pole. That's what they do. Although actually technically Thing from Another World was in the Arctic, but then.
Who's counting?
John Carpenter correctly moved it to the southern, climes when he remade it. So, alright, hold on. Alright. See, my machine's been doing this all day. Freezes up for a few seconds. I probably should have rebooted. Hopefully you guys didn't lose any sound there.
Wait a minute.
I'm hoping it was still recording.
You're a computer guy and you haven't tried turning it off and back on again?
It started doing it right after I rebooted last time. So immediately I thought, well, obviously rebooting isn't going to help me. But, you know, I didn't try. What would be the point? Look at this. Man, we are getting through this list in no time. We're going to have all sorts of Podomatic today. Although we'll see how long we last after Jacob gets here. All right. Oh, next thing on my list is podcasts. I have been getting to the point where I'm running out of podcasts every week. And so I decided I would go back because I hunted around for some new podcasts and I didn't like them. So I listened to an episode or two and then deleted them. And then I tried some more new podcasts and still didn't like them and I deleted them. And so if you guys have any suggestions for podcasts that I should listen to that based on my listening habits, you think I'd really love. All right. Anyway, Jacob came in and I lost my place, but I'll continue from here. If this doesn't make sense, blame Jacob. So, in the meantime, since I don't have any good recommendations yet, I've been listening to old podcasts, and I decided I would listen, A, to Sayer again, because Sayer has been continuing after like a 2-year interval. And so I listened to Sayer, and man, I got all the way through Sayer in like no time, and it was super awesome.
I was reading the list, and no matter how long I looked at that word, I thought it said Slayer, and I'm like, What? What? Why are you listening to like some kind of heavy metal podcast? I don't get it.
Yeah, no, it's Sayer. And so if you guys haven't listened to Sayer, go listen to Sayer. But, now that I've re-listened to the first portion again, now the new portions are making even more sense because I kind of remember where everything falls into place. I'm almost thinking I need to listen through one more time because now that I've gotten it, I'm like, oh, that's right. That's what it all means. Okay. Now I should go back and re-listen again because now I remember it all. But anyway, Sayer, awesome. And then also, Thrilling Adventure Hour. I mean, I know Thrilling Adventure Hour is done, but they've got, you know, almost a couple hundred episodes or something. And Thrilling Adventure Hour is always good. So, man, if you need something to fill some time, you know, they come in 20-minute episodes that's really easy to listen to. Tons of fun because these guys are clever and funny. Sayer, by the way, I guess I should describe them. Sayer is a sci-fi podcast, about a new artificial moon created around the Earth after this huge disaster. And this sci-fi setting is run by Sayer, who is the computer in charge. Well, not completely in charge, but sort of. And it is creepy and Orwellian and, scary and funny, and it's really enjoyable. I love Sayer. And then Thrilling Adventure Hour is, it's a new time podcast in the style of old time radio, as they say it. And so it's newly written stuff, but it's being performed as if they are old radio plays, and they're really, really funny. I mean, just super clever writing, and it's totally worth your time. So those are the two that I've been re-listening to, and I really enjoy. So get on board. And also, you know, recommend me some podcasts, cause I need them. Also, last of all, we've got a new user on the board, Walrus. Walrus sent me like a dozen-ish Podomatics this week. He's the only one that sent me Podomatics this week. So thank you, Walrus. He is my new best friend in the world because he's actually, sorry, dude. He followed my advice. He came, he signed up for the website. Or he signed up for my forums. He sent me a private message and now we're hanging out together. We're having fun.
Yeah, well, I hang out with you in real life.
Okay, you can also be my friend, but he's my best friend in the world.
I feel hurt and betrayed.
Sorry, it's all about Walrus now. Anyway, welcome aboard, Walrus. I appreciate having you around, and I really appreciate the Podomatics. You're awesome. Seriously. All right, and then that's it. That's all I've got for fingertips, so it's all I've got for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Now it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, just like Walrus. I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be.
Recording?
Wait a minute. Before we get to the number, I just realized that Walrus isn't the newest member to join the board, though. Pez is the newest member to join the board. Walrus signed up ages ago, but it took him a while to finally, apparently, work up the nerve or energy to put together some Pod-O-Matics for me. But Pez also just joined, but Pez hasn't sent me any Pod-O-Matics yet, and has only posted a couple of times. So he is, or she, is not working yet on being my best friend in the world, but they could be. So Walrus, watch your back. That's all I'm saying. In the meantime, the number I have is 85.
Ooh.
And 85 comes from, and by the way, for those of you, who would remember that I have walking pneumonia, my cough is getting really bad. So, we'll see how long this podcast lasts.
You know, 85 is a really good number.
85 is, it's from Kaz. Kaz has a bedwetter behead and Pathfinder, Fudge, or GURPS. Okay.
Ooh.
These are all role-playing game systems.
Marry Pathfinder, definitely.
Definitely going to marry Pathfinder, yes. And then I'm going to have my one-night fling with Fudge, which is a...
Really?
Yeah, I like Fudge. I'm very fond of Fudge. It's not... Fudge by itself is not perfect, but, you know, I did write and publish a game in Fudge.
It's
so,
like pudding.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the texture.
Yeah, Fudge is not like pudding. So, then,
wait,
GURPS.
Isn't Fudge like me and Jacob's like original?
Yeah, Fudge would be the first role-playing game you guys ever played. Yes. So, see, fond memories. I would spend a night with Fudge.
We
yes.
lost not Dad's sword.
Not long term, but yeah, we played a Fudge game where you guys were kids in some fantasy setting, and your father's sword was lost, and you needed to go find it. And it was a pretty cool little game. They were just little kids at the time. And then obviously then GURPS, generic universal role playing system. GURPS, GURPS gets killed. I've never been fond of GURPS, so I'm okay with that. 37.
You know, I think GURPS might be a little too generic.
Oh, you think so? Ha! Ah, look at me stalling now because the computer froze again. All right, there we go. 37 is... Hey, it's from Walrus!
37 is a really good number.
All right, if you're going to keep doing that... Walrus says, okay, so I have to ask. If you're starving and the only thing you can eat is Neapolitan ice cream, do you scoop across? Or do you scoop it out color by color? Or... do you just throw it at the world and die already, because who would eat that garbage?
Now, see, this all depends. Do you want to be a psychopath?
Ah.
Because psychopaths scoop out one color at a time.
No, that's actually true. That's science. You can't argue with science.
Because why get Neapolitan if you only want one flavor at a time?
Exactly. I'm totally with him. No, look, when you scoop out Neapolitan, you just scoop across. You get all three flavors in there, and yes, as I'm eating them, I may take a bite of chocolate and then a bite of strawberry, and then maybe sometimes I'll mix them. It's like eating Skittles. Sometimes you just want three oranges, but sometimes you want to put together, like, you know, a grape cherry or whatever. So
also, can I
you just, have the options.
Can I just ask why we had to have Neapolitan as our only food to answer this question?
Seriously? Imagine what situation you're in.
Oh God, I'm locked in the Neapolitan factory.
Right. I am locked in the Gillette ice cream factory freezer. The shipments just went out, and now the only thing left in here is Neapolitan. Yeah. Dude, it could happen. I had an uncle that died that way. All right. 75.
I miss Uncle Roy.
75 is from... Oh, I just had
you
it.
You know what?
Darn it.
75 is a really good number.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really? What's so good about 75?
It's 3 times 25.
Right. Or 3 times 5 squared.
Right.
Right. That is...
such a good number.
Weak. All right. This is from...
Oh, what? You expect me to come up with something on the top of my head?
This is from Ronster, and it's a Would You Rather.
Ooh.
Would you rather have a number for your first name or have the suffix Etang added to your surname?
Okay, can it be a real suffix?
No,
the suffix Etang. So your name would then be Aiden Jones Etang. Except it's probably pronounced more onomatopoeic. Etang! Something like that. It would be it's an actual sound effect. It's
a
cartoon sound effect.
If you could see the face he made to make that sound, it was pretty great.
Right. So, would you rather make people make that face every time they read your name, or get mad at them because they pronounce it wrong, or just have a number for your first name?
I'd have a number as my first name.
Oh, dude, so would I. Look, have you ever watched the show Dark Matter? Because if you haven't seen Dark Matter, you absolutely should. Episode number one, six of them wake up on a spaceship and have no memories at all. They have no idea how they got there. They still have their skills and language and basic knowledge, but they have no idea their personal histories. And this whole series has been this process of discovery of finding out who they are. And oh God, I love Dark Matter, but because they didn't know who they were, they just numbered themselves in the order that they woke up. So, and even now that they have learned their real identities and they know their real names, they still all refer to each other just by number. And, it's really cool. I mean, I love Dark Matter. And I wouldn't mind having a number for a surname. That's fine. Well, or for a first name. But it also depends. If your number was, you know, like 15 digits long, mm-hmm. I mean, then, you know, you just use the first digit as a nickname, I guess.
Right. Or the first two.
Whatever. All right, anyway.
24.
24. That is actually a really good number.
Yeah, it is. 20. That's how many hours are in a day.
There you go. Hours in a day. It's 2 dozen. It's very cool. All right.
It's 12 times 2.
Right.
2 dozen means
12. Or it's 2 to the 3rd power times 3. So, 24 is from Kaz, and Kaz says...
Or it's 1.2 times 10.
Says, Noah develops a superpower.
No, he didn't.
How do you counsel him to use his power for good? Noah, what superpower did you develop?
Teleporting anywhere in the world for 5 seconds, but after those 5 seconds, you have to teleport to the nearest refrigerator entrance. You have to teleport inside the nearest refrigerator.
That is the worst superpower.
So you can teleport anywhere you want in the world, but it has to be inside a fridge.
No.
I can teleport anywhere. Then after 5 seconds,
right.
My entire body teleports inside the nearest refrigerator.
So you're basically teleporting wherever you want, but in a fridge.
Well, no. He's teleporting wherever he'd like to go, and he's got 5 seconds. So if you were going to teleport inside a bank vault, then you would teleport inside the bank vaults, grab up as much money as you can, and then immediately you're going to teleport inside the nearest fridge.
Into the snack.
Right,
God,
right.
If it's a mini fridge, you're kind right. Of
he's
screwed.
In, right, he's in the mini fridge in the bank manager's office.
You know what? I don't think we need to counsel him because the downsides to that power are punishment enough.
Yeah.
Only get in a fridge when you really have to is kind of the rule, right?
Right. Now let's assume he got some more useful superpowers. And in that case, in order to counsel him to use his powers for good,
stinky laser eyes.
I would wind up. My plan would be to have him, just give him free reign because he would probably be hiding it from us anyway. And then he winds up using his powers for his own selfish ends. But then through his carelessness, I get killed, and it's my death that then motivates him to become a hero and use his powers only for good. I think that is the traditional way that. Youngsters who gain superpowers learn how to use them
appropriately. Oh, them little whippersnappers!
Well, like, it's different for, like, Hal Jordan or somebody, but Peter Parker. I mean, hell.
All them Batman, young people getting them.
Batman watched his parents die, and he went out and got himself some superpowers so that he could then use them for good.
His superpower is money.
Yes, but he is still a superhero, right?
No, he's just a hero.
Oh.
What if his superpower is watching his parents die in an opera?
That is terrible. Oh, too bad we had to move on. 35.
Ooh, 35 is a really good number.
35 is from Phoebe. And Phoebe says, in the world of ubiquitous selfies, what makes the old-fashioned photo booth so magical? Yeah. How about that, Aiden? Why do people seem to dig a photo booth so much when... they take pictures of themselves all the damn time.
I have never once had an urge to get in a photo booth.
Really?
Really.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's nostalgic, because the photo booth was, for those of us who are of the older generation, it was the only place that you really got selfies. No one ever turned a camera. Well, people did, but very rarely did you turn a camera on yourself back before digital cameras and cell phones and all of that. And so there's a nostalgia in that the photo booth was usually in a public place, and it was you and your friends, and you would get this commemorative photo strip of you with your friends together, and it was really cool. And so thus the nostalgia factor of the photo booth is what does it for me. Why anyone, under the age of 30 would be fascinated by photo booths, I don't get it. Except that they show up at, the photo booth does show up at weddings and other events where they always have the dress-up items, and then it's the whole dress-up aspect of it, the ability to be silly and stupid about it, that attracts people. I would guess, but what do I know? Number 76?
Oh, that's a really good number.
Yeah, that's a 70. Okay. Tiny dice, hard to read in the dark.
It's not really dark. Dad's just blind.
76 is from Ronster again. Hey, Ron. And Ronster says, SpaceX just launched today. I don't think it was today. I think it was a while ago, Ron, but good try. how do you think the private sector has changed the quest for space? I don't know. It is, I think the private innovation, the incentive prizes has spurred innovation. I think we are coming up with outside-the-box solutions, to be cliche about it, but finding more efficient, practical ways of getting stuff done, because these are people who are shooting for a prize and they're doing things on a shoestring. And yes, there's some notoriety to go with it, but also the money. I think that's really cool. But still, right now, for the most part, most of space is still government funded and government run. So it hasn't changed a lot yet, but I anticipate that it will soon. But we'll see how it goes. 44.
That's a really good number.
You are so annoying. Oh my god. 44 is from Phoebe again. All right. Phoebe says, all right, here it is. Back in the 1940s, some comics apparently showed the Amazons riding giant kangaroos rather than horses. This is why Wonder Woman has a pet kangaroo named Jumpa. I didn't know that. That's really dumb.
Yeah, it's a terrible name for a kangaroo.
Yeah, really bad. How, if at all, should this strange history figure in the Wonder Woman movies? Wow. Kangaroos, that's terrible. I would show the women of Themyscira to be environmentalists, protectors of the earth. I mean, this is pretty noble and it would fit really well. It's a very modern take, on this particular storyline. They have at times been protectors of the earth. And so, working to protect and conserve animals of the earth, kind of a stretch. All right. But then you get to show them with, like, in addition to some rare animals, endangered animals of the earth, also have like unicorns and, some kind of, not necessarily a kangaroo, but some kangaroo-like animal from Australian mythology, Aboriginal mythology. So I don't know if the bunyip fits into that. I have no idea but something like that. So it's not a straight up kangaroo, but some kind of mythological beast that they have there. And thus, not necessarily that she's going to go around riding a kangaroo, because that seems really, really stupid, but to have it there, I don't see it figuring into the movies, but you could have it as a background story, as something, that we see when she goes to visit home, as it were. Something like that. We'll see. 86 is a terrible number.
No, that's a really good number.
Oh my goodness. God, 86 is the worst. 86 is from Phoebe again. She is totally winning today, Kyle. You are a loser. Phoebe says, please name a historical setting that would be fun for a role-playing game, but which you don't recall having seen an adventure written for or that you've played before. A historical setting that would be fun and I haven't seen before. Ooh, that's tough. Because we've been through a whole ton of them when we created Instant Game. We went through every possible setting. I mean, we needed to come up with 100 possible settings. And so, I mean, we really were scraping for this to be as clever as we could. Yeah, ancient Mesopotamia is not bad, although I've seen biblical role-playing, or from, the turn of that millennia. And I've seen that kind of stuff, and that's close to playing Mesopotamian. I mean, that's still earlier, I guess, but, you get it. Yes? Oh. I've got an extra. God damn it!
Jesus.
Oh, he's the. I don't like any of my children. I don't like them at all. That's Jacob. He's standing there with his hands on my shoulders, doing nothing until I look up and I say, yes. And he's like, meh, nothing. I'm fine. So as soon as I try and talk, he starts gnawing on my neck because he's horrible. Oh, I don't know. I don't care much for, straight up historical settings because, like we discovered with our time travel games, I don't know a lot about some historical settings. I mean, you gotta kind of fake it and just hope that everyone's willing to suspend their disbelief because we really have no idea what would be realistic for that world. But, alright, stop! All of you, stop! I'm just moving on. You know what? I am going to turn this car around. I swear to God. 92 is from Talvin. And Talvin says, everybody knows the proper order to introduce the Star Wars movies to a new person is in the order that they were released. Yes, that's absolutely true. But what about after they've been introduced to the universe? Do you then watch them in chronological order? Watching the prequels first, followed by the original trilogy? No. No. No, you never watch them in order 1 through 6, or well, now 1 through 7, in a month, 1 through 8. Never watch them in order, always watch them in the order that they were released, and not in chronological order, because they don't make any sense that way. The whole point is that you've got, you know, Star Wars is this standalone movie, this beautiful introduction to the world, the universe, and then in...
But which Star Wars?
Shut up. Star Wars, the original movie Star Wars.
Sorry, which episode is
back,
that?
Back when there was only one movie, and it was called Star Wars, from 1977 until... Oh, man. In fact, I don't think people started referring to it as Episode 4 or referring to it as Good Hope until after the prequels were in release. Before that, you just said Star Wars and everyone knew what you meant. And nowadays, they force you to clarify. The name of the movie was Star Wars.
Fun fact, did you know that when Star Wars was released, France was still beheading people?
Really?
Yeah.
That is fascinating. Okay. But here's the thing, is that you've got the first movie, which is this again wonderful standalone film, that I mean it's complete all by itself, and then you move into Empire Strikes Back, and you have this huge revelation, the big spoiler from that movie. Well, if you've already watched all the prequels, then you already see this story arc, and you already know who Darth Vader is, and you know all of this other stuff about him that is, it's kind of silly. And so the suggestion I saw is that if you want to watch them out of order, you watch Star Wars, then you watch Empire Strikes Back, and then you watch all three movies of the prequels, because then that gives you the Darth Vader story. Now that you know the big reveal about him, now you watch his story, and then you end it on Episode 6, because Episode 6 ends on a happy note, as opposed to if you watch them in order of release straight up, then you wind up ending on Episode 3, which is really kind of a downer. So, so you should watch 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, and then 6. Or, even better is the cut that, and this is not my original idea, but the cut that, skips Episode 1 entirely, because there's not a whole lot from young Anakin that anybody really needs. So, now if you can hear them all giggling in the background, it's because Aiden has a straw wrapper that he is blowing in my ear like a perverted noisemaker, and everyone else in the room thinks it's really, really funny that he's being so obnoxious while I'm trying to play, trying to record here. So, all right, I'm going to have to stop the podcast here. It's been great. Love you guys. Bye. Okay, I'm back. But here's the thing. I was going to do like 2.5 hours today, but the kids have ruined it. All right, we're stopping here. We're gonna go straight to the credits and then on the listener betrayal. And you guys are being gypped now out of gypped. I can't say gypped. That's racist. You guys are being robbed.
You guys are being a couple more Podomatics.
You guys are being robbed of almost 2 hours of content because my kids are idiots.
Oh, sorry, 64.
All right, we'll do one more.
64.
But then that's it.
The amount of bits that surprisingly the Nintendo 64 can handle.
Right. Look, 64. It's 2 to the 6th power. So.
But the math ones are dumb.
No. Oh, my God. You are the worst son. All right. This one's from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, bed, wed, or behead. Stephen King, Edgar Allan Poe, H.G. Wells.
Kill Wells. No.
You think?
Kill Stephen King. Marry Wells. Have the one-night stand with Edgar Allan Poe.
You know...
Because I don't appreciate modern Stephen King... I think H.G. Wells has all the best stories to tell, and I can't take Edgar Allan Poe's crazy for, you know, more than one night.
I would agree with you, except that I have this blood feud with H.G. Wells.
Wait, what?
And, well, because he used his time machine to steal our ideas and then published them 100 years ago, because he's an asshole. And so therefore, because you remember Kyle's game, Oh, darn it. Why am I Sandbox Hill?
Yeah.
Or Sandbox Hill, where you take Green Army men and you, you had a whole battle game that you played in your backyard with them. All right, turns out H.G. Wells published a game called Little Soldiers over 100 years ago, where you take little tin army figures and then you play battle with, and he came up with all these battle rules that you play, except I think he was doing it in his drawing room or whatever it is that 19th century dudes had.
Yeah.
And essentially it was Kyle's game, but he stole it and published it 100 years ago. And the only way he could have done that is with his time machine.
Is it at all possible that two people can come up with the generally same idea?
Once again, no. That has been proven scientifically impossible. Science. Sorry. I read a paper on it once. So, it's a quantum thing. You wouldn't understand. So, having said all that, I have to kill H.G. Wells, which now leaves me with the choice. And given that, Poe is too depressing to marry, so I will marry Stephen King.
Oh.
I think we'd have a lot to talk about, and he's very wealthy.
Yeah, but
and
you'd have to live in Maine.
Maine is not bad. I don't mind Maine. I've lived up in the northeast part of the country before. It's not bad. I'd be closer to DM Darks, so, you know, that would help.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That is a plus.
And then I'll have my one night of passion with Edgar Allan Poe, because he is a very passionate man, if nothing else.
Here he's got some great Amontillado stored up.
Oh, man. All right. Jacob said, you can't do that. You're not his cousin. Okay. That's terrible.
28.
Just because the man married his
really
cousin, there's nothing wrong with that. Cousin marriage apparently is common across many societies and throughout history. So who are we to judge, right? Except it does seem kind of gross. 28 is from... It's from Kaz again. Hey, Kaz. Kaz says, how awesome is Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer?
Oh, so awesome.
That was the worst part about Sean Spicer stepping down from his position as the press secretary, is that we no longer get Melissa McCarthy doing Sean Spicer impressions, because...
The mobile attack podium.
Dude, so awesome. What? That was really funny stuff. So we'll have to show you some Saturday Night Live sketches. Melissa McCarthy was playing the role of Sean Spicer and pretending to be the press secretary, and she was very, very funny at it. She's a really funny woman when she's given the right material. So, all right. 05.
That's a really good number.
Not so much. 05 is just boring.
Yeah, but it's one of the bases for all math.
Well, sure, as are all prime numbers. All right. This one's from Ronster, and Ron says, is using wrapping paper when a reusable gift bag would do being ecologically irresponsible? Maybe, except that wrapping paper is recyclable, and both of them are technically pretty wasteful at all. Why do you need to wrap a gift? I mean, just throw a blanket over it, right? Hey, come on! I got you something under a blanket!
And,
pull it off! And, surprise!
And then you do the whole, like, car reveal whipping off the sheet thing.
Exactly.
Unless it's like a dog. Don't do that.
You know what? That's actually Yancey's test for how to tell if he's got a good puppy. He's got all the puppies there, and one at a time he'll play with them.
Whichever one gets out of the blanket.
Yeah, you throw a blanket over it, and how fast it gets out from under the blanket will tell you what kind of dog he is. If he gets out super fast, then, okay, maybe a little too energetic for you. If he never comes out from under the blanket, way too passive. So
92, a really good number.
Really?
Yeah.
Name me anything in your life that has depended on the number 92.
Well, nothing depends on 92. It's just a really good number.
No, it is a good number because it was already done. It's Talvin's.
52.
Now, that's awesome because that's the number of cards in a standard deck of cards.
Oh, I thought I was going to...
Minus the Jokers.
I was going to say it was your age, but...
It is not. So, anyway, this one says... It's from Zimney, by the way. Zim says, you've just invented a foolproof way of detecting ghosts by using a few common household items, including crunchy peanut butter and a nail file. How exactly does that work again?
Okay. No.
All right.
No.
You've got something?
Zimney, you've just described an entire 12-chapter book that I've actually written. Now, let me tell you how it works.
Okay.
All right, so,
in my book, it states that the people who create peanut butter have already been detecting ghosts, because you put it on a rough surface, such as a nail file, and if there is a ghostly present, it will actually become smooth. What? So, you have to put it into a room on a nail file for 24 hours. And if your crunchy peanut butter becomes smooth, then there are ghosts.
Seriously?
Yeah! It works every time!
Wow.
I mean, I'm oversimplifying it. But yeah, like, it works every time. And like, you gotta read my whole 12 chapter book to get the whole science behind everything and all the research I've done, but.
Oh man.
But man, it really works every time.
Okay, then how come? Alright, first off, that explains the peanut butter.
And that's why.
All over our freaking house.
And that's why. That's why when you build a peanut butter plant, you have to murder someone on the premises before you start producing peanut butter.
Okay. You know what? You win. That is better than any answer I could have come up with. I really like that. Because I was going to use it as peanut butter as a barrier to trap ghosts, because they can't cross a doorway that has peanut butter on it.
But that's not detecting ghosts.
No. But here's the thing. If you can prevent them from leaving the room, then all you need to do is float a metallic object like a nail file. You would have to find a way to float it on a cork in a bucket of water in the middle of the room, and then the trapped ghost will eventually start circling faster and faster through the room trying to escape because it can't get out. All right? And so if you come back into the room and your metal object like your nail file happens to be spinning in the water, then you know you have a ghost. All right. Now, the problem with this is that ghosts will often sometimes try and jump in the bucket, and they'll disrupt the whole process. And so what you have to do is you have to put peanut butter around the rim of the bucket as well to keep them from entering the bucket.
But there's a hole because in the beginning you said peanut butter creates an impassable barrier, not that it is attracted to ghosts or repelled by ghosts.
Right.
So how would it move in the bucket unless the ghost was actually...
No. The peanut butter is not moving. The metal nail file. It's like a magnetic effect.
Ghosts are magnetic now?
Yes, a ghost field when they pass around you. It's like a quantum gravity wave, but it's connected to the spirit world. You clearly have never read any science whatsoever in your life, have you?
You are so dumb.
What? How does this not work?
Okay, how many times have you tried it?
Oh, yeah. And then chunky peanut butter just goes smooth.
It does!
It doesn't.
Every time there's a ghost around.
All right, you know what? Fine. I have got 2 jars of peanut butter in the kitchen.
All right.
We will see who finds a ghost first.
All right, sweet.
All right, we're on.
It's on.
Okay, and that is the end of the Pod-O-Matic. So I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Do you have to hide the button from me?
Yes, I have to hide the button from you. Now, shut up and let GLaDOS talk.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Just Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. And
Fingertips.
Thank you, Aiden. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget that my podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Radio Network. Angry Geeks Versus, Angry Geeks Versus, their last episode is releasing tomorrow, and then there will be no more Angry Geeks Versus, so we'll see how long the Nerd Pride Network lasts, because Me Like Trivia hasn't published in like 6 months, and they keep telling me they're going to have new podcasts, but sometimes they lie.
Can you have a network with one podcast?
Yes.
Technically.
I can network with myself alone with the door locked. So,
schedule some press meetings with yourself.
I'll bring myself on as a special guest on my own podcast. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out.
Quality nerd person.
From quality nerd person. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write us a nice review because those things make a difference. Actually, give me 5 stars. I don't care if you write a crappy review. Tell people I'm awful. As long as you give me 5 stars, it doesn't make any difference. That's what they look at. If you want to do something really nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, please spread the word. Find one other person, let them know that you enjoy it, and then they can join in. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners. Do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, say 211, 212, there's any sort of numbers that are all coming up, send me those facts. Save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, at Nerd Pride Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. I feel like someone is lurking over my shoulder and about to attack me. We will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. There it goes. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook and I post up, "Hey guys, I'm recording anything you post. I will read off at the end of the cast," which is what I'm doing right now. So, first off, from my forums, I realized last week I didn't tell you what question I asked. I told you one of the questions, but not both of them, so I'll try and be better. So I said, ask questions, be a part of the podcast. Also, if you could have a winged kitten or a winged puppy, which one would you take and what would you name it? So first off, Eliahead says, a winged kitten, and it would be named Pegasus, which is a cop-out, but also perfect all at the same time. God, I was going to tell you what a cop-out Pegasus was.
Agree with him. And you're just a bully.
Well, no, it's still a cop-out, but it's also, as he says, it is a perfect name. Oh my God, he's threatening me, guys. All right. Then, Eliahead says, Mike, if you want to let people know that we're looking for playtesters for Godball, that would be awesome. You know what? I feel like we've talked about Godball enough. Maybe we could stop being so obsessive about it, Dave. Seriously.
Gosh, you're mean to Dave. What did Dave ever do to you?
I'm telling you. Aiden has heard so much Godball lately.
I'd love to hear more. I'd love to play it. You're not nearly as into this as Dave is.
Talked to my mom about it this morning, and I had to explain to her everything that was going on. And then Jacob showed up now, and we went out to go get food for everybody because he doesn't have Taco Bell in his town, and so he loves Taco Bell. So we went out to Taco Bell, and on the way there, I'm like, all right, dude, you're going to have to listen to me talking about Godball because I can't stop.
But Jacob was there for its conception.
If anyone is interested in being a playtester for Godball, we're going to have a print-and-play version ready soon. And, get in touch with me on the boards. We have a private section that we do for Godball that there's a lot of people in there, but it's still kind of semi-private. So if you want in, if you're really serious about wanting to take a copy of this and test it out, let me know. We'll get you in. So we can do that. Dave continues, though. The game is still in its infancy, but we need as many games played as possible and as much feedback as we can get our hands on. The game is in evolution, but I can attest to the high level of laughter and strategic thinking that goes into it. We need your help. Have an awesome day, everyone. Hey, good pitch, Dave, because yes, he's absolutely right. And what we're coming to now is we're having an issue with, we've got six different gods, so there are six decks of cards, and we have to find out how these cards interact and how they balance, and it's just going to require a lot of playtesting. So yeah, if anyone's interested in being part of it, let me know. We'll let you in the door, and we'll get you a copy of the game, and you can try it out, because it's super cool. So, there you go. Thank you, Dave. And then, Walrus, you lied to me. You lied to me. You said that you wouldn't ever be able to get in on Listener Betrayal, and that's why you were sending me Podomatics, but here you are. Oh, all right. I guess I'll have to take what I can get, right? Walrus says, I would want Carl the Pegacorn. Bring me Carl. And then he says, I made it to Betrayal. Hey, good for you, man. Carl the...
Why are you so mean to them? You're just really...
You know what? Normally I'm much nicer.
You're so abrasive.
But you guys have ruined me today. All right? So, guys...
Oh, yeah, no. Look at him blaming other people for the way he acts.
You've heard them. You guys are witnesses to this. You've seen what they've done to me. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Carl the Pegacorn. Not bad. I would go kitten myself, but that's all right. Produce Farmer. Hey, Produce Farmer. He says, hi, Mike. I just finished the PAX Unplugged convention. Oh, I'm so jealous. How cool. And I am super jazzed to betray you. I would want a winged kitten, and I would name her Pegcatsus. Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, you need to leave.
Hope you've been drinking your preferred canned caffeinated drinks of choice. Monster. You know what? I had a Monster Kona blend this morning, and I was very happy with it. And now I'm having Diet Dr. Pepper because...
Whoa, he said canned. How dare you?
Well, yeah, but it's in a bottle because it tastes better out of a bottle.
Okay.
But...
Is a bottle a can?
No, but he's referring specifically to the Kona blend, so I'm letting him know I had a Kona blend. Because he knows me.
Right, but he didn't ask about what you're drinking in a bottle.
He cares about me in a way that you couldn't, all
right? Right, because you're not that interesting.
Produce Farmer is the son I wish I had always had. That's what I'm saying. All right. So anyway, with this walking pneumonia thing, and I'm going to keep bringing it up because, you know.
Feel bad for me.
I'm a whore for attention. it turns out that it helps to have something to drink, but it has to be something caffeinated. Like drinking just water doesn't get rid of the cough, but drinking, soda or anything carbonated does.
Take a spoonful of honey.
So as much as I love the Kona blend, not caffeinated doesn't help. Darn it.
Spoonful of honey.
But also, I shouldn't be drinking that much soda no matter what. Either way. All right. But next up is Walrus again. And Walrus quotes Produce Farmers about the caffeinated drink of choice and says, Red Bull! All caps, drawn out like that, lots of exclamation points. Which, see, when I first pulled up this thread and I was just kind of glancing as I rolled up because I had to type in my own bit, and then I'm glancing up through it and I saw Red Bull. I thought Red Bull was going to be the name for one of the winged pets.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Because it does in fact give you wings.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Right. You get yourself a winged pit, for example, named Red Bull. I know. Oh man, if I liked dogs better, I would totally do that. I'm done with dogs. I mean, I love dogs. I really do love dogs, but they're so high maintenance.
They're behind that door. How dare you?
They can't hear me. They're so self-absorbed.
They can hear you.
They're not even paying attention.
They can hear me in my room.
No, that's true. Well, you're... Never mind. All right, next up...
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to make a joke about you being super loud downstairs, but you're by yourself, and so... But then it just got dirty in my head, and it was really inappropriate.
Hear that? He has dirty thoughts about his son.
No matter how I phrased it in my head, it just sounded really inappropriate, and so therefore I let it go because...
Gosh, you're terrible.
Because I just wanted to... Maybe something about dancing alone downstairs, playing your music too loud, something, if I had thought of it, but I didn't. I wasn't fast enough. So, you know, I was going to skip it until you forced my hand. All right, now we're out on Facebook. And Facebook has Sarah Beth is first. Sarah Beth says, I'm actually writing a series of essays. Oh, see, I have to read the question first. The question that I wrote is, now recording episode 210, post here to be a part of it. Also, which Disney princess is your favorite and why? All right. So she says, I'm actually writing a series of essays based on your Disney princess episode and why you're wrong. And then she gives me a wink, but my favorite varies by the day. Today is Belle because all I want is to curl up in a library with a book, a cup of tea, and my hairy husband. He is a hairy little bastard,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh my God.
His
chest hair is his +10 carpet of sexterity.
That's right. I would be thrilled to hear your opinions on why I'm wrong about the princesses, but I'm not. I know I'm not. Next is Iantha, and Iantha says, I love Mulan because nobody saved her. I love Mulan as well.
Not technically a princess.
Always one of my favorites. No, but she's officially a Disney princess,
even if she's
not a princess. So, but yes, Mulan saved herself. Absolutely. She is one of my favorites absolutely because of that. She instead saved others. Also, I really appreciate that she was in a role not traditionally held by women. Absolutely. See? Good answer. Sarah Beth then replies again and says, okay. So here's a short version of my response to the replicating results conversation you had last week. Oh, short version. Yeah, short version says, see more. Let's expand this.
Oh, my word.
All right, here's the short version. Yeah, the short version is, the real reason that we don't have people going around replicating experiments is because of funding, not
right.
flashiness. Essentially, we are funded by grants.
Mm-hmm. No, nobody gets paid for discovering something twice.
Right. my field, biological non-pharmaceutical research, which is the only one that I can speak to, obviously. When my boss submits a grant application, he has to show data as to why we would want to do this work we're proposing, who specifically is doing the work, the whole lab may not be on the same grant, and what experiments we are planning on doing if we should be granted the funds. No one, especially today, is going to give someone a grant to redo someone else's research. Uh-huh. It would be a waste. We do, however, repeat all our experiments in triplicate, and if the results aren't consistent, we either conclude that the experiment isn't working and that we need a different approach, or we state that the results aren't consistent and try and figure out why that is. The other way that we check to see if results are reproducible is that we read papers all the time, like so many papers based on colleagues that are working on similar things. Oh, like so many papers. See, I had the wrong emphasis there. We sometimes ask to be sent strains or reagents that other labs have published because we want to see how they work in our experiments, mutants, proteins of interest, etc. Or if someone has developed a new protocol, we may try to implement it in our own lab. It has happened where an animal behaves differently in our hands than in someone else's, and we need to go back to them and figure out what went wrong. So there are checks and balances there as well. Anyway, I don't know if this makes sense, but essentially what I'm trying to say is even though peer review doesn't mean a reviewer goes through it, and checks to make sure all experiments are reproducible, science can still be trusted. Not that you in any way implied that it couldn't, of course. Don't even get me started on how the higher-ups check for fraud. Holy crap, that's insanely closely monitored. Those guys do not mess around. Sorry you had to read all that. Nah, that's all right. It happens. At least, you know, it wasn't all the lyrics to Modern Major General. love you, dude. You're the best. See? She thinks I'm the best.
Well,
see, Aiden's wrong.
No, I can't say you're the best because apparently we ruined you.
All right. Thank you, Sarah Beth. I appreciate all that input because, again, as the only real scientist that I know, your expertise means a lot to me. So thank you. And I think that there's some similarities to the stuff I was stating and what you're talking about. But yeah, that is a lot more detailed. So I appreciate it. Next is Kaz. Kaz says, Moana is my favorite of the Disney princesses. I've always loved Pacific Islander movies. Right, plus The Rock is so awesome in that movie, isn't he? Okay.
Also, Moana is technically not a princess.
No, she absolutely is a princess.
No, she's the chieftain's daughter. We had this whole conversation
Her a princess.
No.
I think they even refer to her as princess in the movie.
Right, and then she corrects them because she identifies as not a princess.
Oh, see how they work that in so she could be not a princess and yet everyone calls her one and thus she's in... I don't think she's an official Disney princess yet, though, is she?
No.
I haven't looked. So, anyway, normally I am always up to date on my princesses and I just haven't paid attention for this one. I feel really bad. I should go look. But then Cass says, now, which Don Bluth movie did you the most emotional harm?
Whichever Land Before Time had the meteorite fall.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say...
Land Before Time 58?
I was going to say, was Rats of Nim a Don Bluth joint? I cannot remember. Look that up for me, because Rats of Nim, I loved the book. Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim was one of my absolute favorite books when I was a kid. Loved that thing. And then the movie came out and they changed her name to Brisby because apparently Frisbee would have been too funny. And it just wasn't quite right. They had to make some concessions because it's a movie and not a book, but I did not enjoy the movie nearly as much. So what do you got? He's still looking. Or Dragon Slayer. Dragon Slayer scarred me terribly because it was so goddamn cool and yet...
Hold on.
And yet such a terrible...
How?
Terrible game in the end.
How dare you? That is not a movie.
What? Mrs. Frisbee, the Rats of Nim?
No.
Dragon Slayer? Dragon Slayer is absolutely...
No, because...
A movie cut into a choose-your-own-adventure book...
Stop.
On a video game.
Stop.
That's what it is.
If it was a movie... They wouldn't be in production of the actual Dragon Slayer movie now.
Right, which is going to be terrible.
Oh,
terrible.
Come on.
Oh, God, that thing. It was so
Rats
disappointing.
Rats of Nim, directed by Don Bluth.
All right, see, Don Bluth, there you go. So Rats of Nim is mine. So
right, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know, I don't care. I was a kid, and it wasn't like the book, and it didn't have the emotional impact for me that the book did, and so therefore I didn't enjoy it. So, that's just me.
Our next one is from Nerd Pride Radio, and it says, done!
We are done. So, I appreciate everybody showing up. Jacob has already left for the evening because he had to get back to school. But, you know, hey, say goodnight, Noah.
Good night, everyone.
Say goodnight, Eli.
I haven't said much.
Yeah, Eli's actually here, though. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight.
Oh, darn it. I even turned him off. I was hoping I could do R2 over the top of your good night, and thus ruin it, but I didn't. So, say goodnight, R2. I love you guys. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for all the new contributions. I appreciate you guys. You're awesome. And I will see you next week.